Devaki and Vasudeva, both highly elevated personalities, accepted the truth presented by Kamsa that everything is ordained by providence. According to the prophecy, Kamsa would be killed by the eighth child of Devaki. Therefore, Vasudeva and Devaki saw that behind all these incidents was a great plan devised by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the Lord had already taken birth, just like a human child, and was in safe custody of Yashoda, everything was happening according to plan, and there was no need to continue their ill feeling toward Kamsa. Thus, they accepted Kamsa's words. Bratu samanutaptasya shanta rosha cha devaki vasrijad vasudevascha prahasyatam uvacha. When Devaki saw her brother actually repentant while explaining ordained events, she was relieved of all anger. Similarly, Vasudeva was also free from anger. Smiling, he spoke to Kamsa as follows. So first of all, let me offer my great respects and thanks to my dear godbrother. Actually, I always remember him as from years ago as Ilapati Brahmachari, because he was very, very prominent at that time in India. And later on, since he has become a sannyasi, I haven't had so much opportunity to have his association. But we do preach a little bit together in the Balkans, Croatia, and Slovenia. So I'm very honored that Bhakti Vikash Maharaj has...
I'd like to protest.
It's new mic.
I like to protest that Srimad Bhagavatam class should be used for speaking the truth.
And, anyway, age
before the Ashita Maharaj has got the great heart of gold, and he can take out gold from a dirty place.
And the dirty place is in my heart. So, but in English we say age before beauty, so I will say a few syllables and then we'll hear some enlightening words from Bhakti Vikash Maharaj. He has a very, very successful seminar going on, by the way. I think today's the last day. Just above us, actually. It's over there in the late afternoon. So, here we find, I'm sure you all know the story, Lord Brahma. Well, Marichi, great sage, I guess, and anyway, he had six sons, and they were also very powerful ascetics, but they made the mistake of offending Lord Brahma. Now, Lord Brahma, there was a leela where Lord Brahma actually became lusty after his own daughter, which is abominable, but at the same time, Lord Brahma is the first living entity in the universe, and he is a great devotee of the Lord, and he's very, very powerful. He's, of course, he's the head of our sampradaya, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. At that particular time, in that particular leela, we're talking about Krita Yuga. Well, it finally manifested or first manifested in Kripta Yuga, but he's very powerful, and the six sons of Marichi, they disdained his activities and laughed at him. You have to be very careful. You have to be very sober when dealing with all kinds of Vaishnavas. And you all know, if you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, there are two things that come out very strongly. And one of them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, over and over and over again, there's at least 20 distinct quotations where he says, I'm very upset, or someone who commits Vaishnava aparad, they will definitely go to, you know, in a hellish condition. So we have to be very careful in dealing with all kinds of Vaishnavas, whether active or inactive or whatever, neophyte, advanced, because they're all very, very special people. What to speak of Lord Brahma? Therefore it is said, te jiyasam na doshaya. In one sense, a very, very powerful person is not subject to the criticisms of very junior people. Of course, he is subject to the criticism of people on his level, and of course Lord Brahma did cast off that body and take a new body. He was also ashamed of that activity. But anyway, at that point he cursed the six sons of Marichi that you will take birth in the lower planets as a sons of demons. So they in fact did take birth as the sons of Kalanemi, and as such they were the grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. They were known as Sadgarbhas. And they, under the rule of Hiranyakashipu, he wanted everyone to worship him, but they were not so confident. So on their own, they left his association and they began to practice austerity and tapasya to placate or to attract Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma did come down and he asked them what they wanted from their austerities, severe austerities. We were discussing this the other day in my seminar in Nisringadev, and we were talking about Hiranyakashipu's austerity. We could do it here also, but not enough time. I had everybody get up from their chairs and stand on their toes and put their hands up in the air, and you know, I wanted them to see how long they could stand in that position. So I could have you all stand up and stand on your toes. You'll find you won't be able to stand more than a few minutes. And Hiranyakashipu did this for thousands of years. And so that's the kind of austerities that the sons of Kalanemi performed. So Lord Brahma came and said, well, what do you want from that? And they said that we want to not be killed by any powerful person, any sage, this, that, the other thing. So Lord Brahma could understand their purpose, so he granted them those wishes. But then Hiranyakashipu found out about it, and he was furious. You worship Lord Brahma instead of me? Okay, I curse you that your father will take birth as a demon and you'll take birth as the sons of Devaki and you'll be killed by your own father. So that's actually what happened. The Sadgarbhas were the first six sons of Devaki and Kansa killed them all. So it is hard to...
Kansa was Kalanemi.
Or Kalanebi was Kansa. So it's hard to really appreciate the feelings of these great devotees. Now, Devaki was the cousin sister, not exactly the direct sister of Kamsa, but that she was the daughter of Kamsa's uncle. So in that way they were a family. And yet at the same time, here was her cousin brother performing atrocious activities against Devaki and her husband. And even though they were devotees, they felt angry. And we are emotional living beings, and we cannot stop that. We should not repress, but we should direct in the right way. Like, I'm a very angry person, and I try as hard as I can to direct my anger against my anarthas. I get angry that I'm lusty, or I get angry that I'm a sense gratifier, that I'm pretending to be a devotee, and I chastise myself. And that's one direction for anger. And even Srila Prabhupada once said, there may come a time when devotees may actually have to fight and kill the demons. So anyway, two of the greatest devotees were Arjuna and Hanuman. So now, Kamsa, you can imagine, one of the strongest messages in the Mahabharata is that everything is ordained by providence. Yudhisthira comes up against this again and again. He has this realization that everything is the will of providence. So, Kamsa's preaching like this. He's thrown his brother-in-law, Vasudeva, and his sister into jail, put them into great difficulty, and now he's brought them out again. And actually, the person who was telling, later on told Kamsa everything, was Narad Muni, and that is, Narad is a very, very special character, because he seems to always be fomenting trouble. It's not that way, of course, in the greater scheme of things. He's simply attracting or calling, creating what was needed was Krishna's descent and his lila to save all of us, paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya chaduskritam. But here in this situation, they're ready, Devaki's ready to accept that her cousin brother has changed his heart. He's had a change of heart. And therefore I should just forgive him. And that's the heart of a Vaishnava. The Vaishnava does not hold negative energy in his heart. And anger towards another person, to be angry with another person, it harms you as much as or more. It hardly harms the other person, but it harms you. So we should try to cast off such anger and try to see things in the light that everything is Krishna's mercy to help me become a better devotee. Whatever it may be, it may be some, Krishna forbid, political problems in ISKCON, the reality in ISKCON. Of course, we hope that won't happen. But that may be the problem, or maybe some physical problem, even very debilitating problem. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. For you to think that you're a victim is the worst thing you can do. It's the worst thing you can do. It's Krishna's mercy to help you surrender more. And you should wholeheartedly embrace that. So these are the wonderful qualities of Vasudeva and Devaki, that they're immediately ready to forgive Kamsa, even though later on throws them back in jail and kills their sons and does his. And the point is that until Kamsa was reminded by Narada that he was Kalanani and what would happen. And until he fell into the bad association, or he had bad association of so many demoniac-like persons in his court and in his kingdom who advised him, it appeared that he wasn't such a bad guy. And I'll give you an example that this reminds me of. There was a show in America, I forget the name of the show, it's one of those syndicated talk shows. Name some names in America. Huh? I can't remember it. Anyway, it was one of those talk shows. Maybe it was that, who's that guy who was on CNN? Larry King. Yeah, I think it was Larry King show. That's right, thank you. It was the Larry King show. So he had on his show this Jewish gentleman who was a survivor of Auschwitz. I don't know if you know Auschwitz, but it's a place in Germany where they had a large concentration camp. And to one degree or another, Prabhupada said he didn't believe 6 million, but whatever. To one degree or another, people were murdered there by Hitler's henchmen or whatever. Very popular expression in California these days, or whatever. Pick that up recently. But this man was on his show, and just prior to that, he had been in France for a trial of somebody, it wasn't Himmler, but somebody, the butcher of Auschwitz or something. And so Larry was questioning him, what happened when you walked into the courtroom, what did you feel? You saw the great butcher without his, you know, guards and guard dogs and rifles. What was your feeling? And he was trying to explain, and Larry questioned him further, well, why did you faint when you walked into the courtroom? What made you so emotional that you fainted and collapsed on the floor? And the man said, well, when I saw him in the witness box, a kind of older man now, frail, no big uniform and hat and everything, and I just looked at him and I thought, oh my God, it could be any one of us. So that's actually how it is. There's a demon and a devotee in all of us. And that demon was there some years back before we were saved by the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So that should be our spirit, to somehow or other, using our intelligence, not endangering our own sadhana and our own creepers, but at the same time, we have to build a house in which at least the whole world is welcome. They may choose to live or not live, but our hearts have to be open and beautiful and forgiving and loving. Now, we want to do that. This is time for a commercial again. We want to do that by building this beautiful temple for Mahaprabhu. You can just imagine. You've heard about it. Nityananda Prabhu predicted it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur looked out from his quarters, from his house in Birnagar. He had a vision. He was looking towards Mayapur. He had a vision. He saw it. He saw the temple. Ekadbhuta Mandir Hoive Vikash. Gauranga Nitya Seva. From this temple, the teaching of Mahaprabhu, the Nitya Seva of Mahaprabhu would be spread all over the world, Nagaradi Gram. So, Srila Prabhupada installed in 1972 the foundation stone for this temple. He told us about it. It was definitely his desire to do it. And now, next year, we're going to cast the deities and install them next year. They will be cast. 14,000 kilos of Ashtadhatu, 8 auspicious metals. You can't imagine a deity so large. I mean, Radha Madhava, look at how much space they're taking here. It's beautiful. You come in here, you feel that, you feel enveloped. We're so small in front of Radha Madhava Ashtashakti. And in a temple where they're there, and these 8-foot tall deities of Mahaprabhu and his associates, and then Guru Gauranga, or Guru altar, Prabhupada altar. It will be simply spectacular. People will come to this temple, and it will be like 500 years ago when people met Mahaprabhu and they just saw him, and immediately they began to chant. The most cold-hearted agnostics may come here, and they'll be caught up by the atmosphere. Prabhupada wanted that there would be a small city supporting the temple and the activities here. 50,000, approximately, devotees will permanently live here and do that nitya seva of all these beautiful deities. And we have a chance. We have a chance to show that kind of compassion and forgiveness to a world who has not treated the Hare Krishna movement very well. In the early days, we were attacked, devotees were killed in Russia, in Armenia, in so many places. Devotees were put in jail, devotees were laughed at, mocked. Even today, it goes on. But it's Krishna's arrangement to give us an opportunity to show our true devotion and love for him, because we're not these bodies anyway. So I'm encouraging all of you to take this poster and this brochure. And I remember, just the last word, in Bombay, after the big drama, some of you or all of you may have read in Prabhupada Lilamrita, the drama of Mr. Nair and Hare Krishna Land. Prabhupada called Hare Krishna Land New Kurukshetra. It was a battle, and Prabhupada loved it. He was, wherever he'd go in the world, he was thinking, how's the battle going on at Hare Krishna Land in Juhu? When it was finally over, Prabhupada settled with Mrs. Nair. The land was in our hands now. He had settled with the other persons who had paid money to Mr. Nair. So then in his room, Mr. and Mrs. Sethi were there, and Prabhupada was feeling very enthusiastic, and he said, I want to start the temple fund now, today. We must build this temple for Radharas Bihari. I promised them, I put them in a tent. And I said, please, you stand here and I'll build you a temple. And I haven't been able to do it, so I want to do it now. And Mr. and Mrs. Sethi didn't know what to say. Prabhupada wanted to start the collection immediately. So Mrs. Sethi took off all her gold, all her bangles and everything. She just gave them like that. She started it up.
Okay, ladies.
Okay, ladies. Anyway, the point is, you have a year. You have a year. And if all you can offer is the holy name, write down the holy name and send it in, you can do that. But offer from your heart, and this temple will come up. In our lifetime, it must come up. We can do it. No question of it won't happen. It will happen. It's already done. We just have to take the credit for it. Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada said that the deities should be life-size, and Lord Chaitanya was 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
So why do you keep saying the deities are going to be 8 feet?
No, he's 7 foot, but his arms extended up, he had long arms, that's 8 foot. and he's 3,000 kilos. Huh? I don't know. 8, 9, 10, whatever you want. They'll be bigger than Steven Spielberg can imagine.
There will be a great test from Ubuntu. This temple is to be built on Prabhupada's desire. Prabhupada said about spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. If you don't do it, someone else will come and do it. So
no.
We'll see.
No.
We're getting Prabhupada's mercy.
Yes. Bhaktivinoda said, anyone who takes part in erecting this temple, he said he'll personally come and take you back to Gaudiya, personally by the hand.
So this is the boldness of our movement, which Prabhupada was boldness personified. That despite so many things that have happened, we have faith in that the mercy of Prabhupada is there. We can take it. And we can't, but being his instruments, we can perform that which the stupendous tasks that he left us to do. So, one of the godbrothers of Prabhupada told me, he said, my Guru Maharaj, and he's got this sense of is like a lion. He's known as the Lion Guru. And he said, your Guru Maharaj is also like a lion. So he said, you should also all be just like lions. Lions don't give birth to rabbits. So if it really follows the Prabhupada, then we should take up the task. Now, Sridhar Maharaj, on behalf of Prabhupada, and the whole team is giving us the challenge. Now, he stated that Kamsa Maharaj, he's a king. Samantapta. He tapta means hot. Heart is burning. Samantapta means he's feeling in the same way as Vasudeva and Devaki. He's sympathizing them, feeling what they are feeling. He's feeling compassion. Is he really compassionate in the same way that Vasudeva and Devaki are? Vasudeva and Devaki are great, pure devotees of the Lord. They're famous as great devotees of the Lord. And Kamsa is famous for being a great demon. But here he's expressing some compassion. Those who are non-devotees, they may possess many qualities, but they're not the same as the qualities of devotees. They're not great qualities. Because the qualities that a non-devotee may have are simply produced from the mental platform. Simply on the external mental platform, a non-devotee may have qualities. An actual devotee has qualities which are developed or inherent from the spiritual platform of love of Krishna. Therefore, here it's the sympathy or the empathy, the compassion of Kamsa. That we can understand, it's not really, it's compassion, but not in the same way as that of a pure devotee. And the test of that will be, is that his character doesn't actually change. He goes on being a demon. If he was actually sympathetic, then he should have also become a devotee. He did eventually, when he came here to Mayapur as Chan Kazi, then by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became a devotee. But he will carry on with his atrocious activities. This chapter is entitled The Atrocities of King Kamsa. So he goes on being atrocious. Atyacha, the word is there in Sanskrit. Sounds almost the same. Atyacha, atrocious activities. That example Prabhupada gave also, so many people will say, I have seen Rasa Leela. I saw Krishna in my dream. But then the question is, why did you get up in the morning and have a cup of coffee just like every other morning? Why did you go on with your materialistic way of life? If you actually saw Krishna, and then you would, from the spiritual platform and not from the platform of your mental fabrication, then you would have not come back to your materialistic way of life. Your life would have changed. So in the same way, Kamsa, he's feeling some compassion. So that's on the relative platform, that is good. Even among demons, there are different classes. Prabhupada gave an example of, he saw in Calcutta, Prabhupada described, actually it was a class here in Mayapur, he was describing this, about the demoniac mentality, and he described as, he remembers seeing on the, because everything in India tends to be kind of gross. That's stated also in the Bhagavatam, that everyone gets their karma exactly according to the mold it should be in India. So in the Western countries they have slaughterhouses. They keep them a long way away from the city. But in the hotels or the restaurants, then in India and other places like China, they have fresh food for you, not for you, but for those who like to eat such things. Chickens, they'll be slaughtered right there and cooked right there on the spot. So Prabhupada was describing how the man in the hotel, that means the restaurant, he was cutting the chicken's throat, and his son, who hadn't been fully trained up yet, was crying. And the father, fully trained up means whatever the father does, the son does. So in course of time, he'd also be cutting chickens' throats. A potter's son becomes a potter, a barber's son becomes a barber, a thief's son becomes a thief, and it works like that. So the hotel owner, his son, was getting trained up and cutting throats. So the son was crying, and the father said, why are you crying? It's very nice. It's very nice to watch the chickens screeching and suffering. He was thinking it's nice. So Prabhupada was citing this as an example of the demoniac mentality. People take pleasure in seeing the sufferings of others. Para dukkha sukhi. They take pleasure in seeing the sufferings of, and they are the revert, or the, no, not the, the concomitant factor with that is para sukha dukhi. When someone is happy, they become unhappy. That is called envious mentality. They don't like to see others happy. So Kamsa, as Maharaj is pointing out, that was very interesting, I never thought about that before, that Kamsa, when he, at one point it seemed he was going to be not such a bad demon, but then his advisors came and said, hey look, you know, we've got to get serious here. Let's start persecuting the Yadus, the Vrishnis, the Angas, the Bhoja. So Kamsa said, yeah, you're right, okay, let's do it. But himself, his own inclination was to be a little bit gentle. Not very gentle, but not as bad as his, due to bad association, actually, due to bad association, he became a demon among demons, a paragon for the demons. So here he's feeling some compassion for Devaki, because after all there's some
family relationship, and we had the example of Auschwitz. I don't know if I pronounced that properly, but anyway, whatever it is. So Hitler was overseeing that, and Maharaj was telling the story of just, it must have been some, you know, some Herr Schmidt who somehow became the head of Auschwitz, and the Jewish gentleman who saw him fainted because he realized that, now I'm here to accuse him, but that could have been me. If in that situation, due to bad association, maybe I'd have done the same thing. So Hitler, Himmler, and all these nasty people, the head of Auschwitz, the same day that the head of Auschwitz must have been sending so many Jews to the gas chamber, he probably went home and patted his son on the head and played with him and was very nice to him. And if his son, so many Jews he's sending for slaughter, but then if his son tripped over, oh, quick, pick him up. Oh, did it hurt? He said, does it hurt? And he doesn't, did it hurt? The son fell over and scratched his knee. Of course, that's all hypothesis. And the same day, he's sending thousands of people to slaughter. So he's feeling some compassion. But that's all in relationship to his body. In the about two purports previously, the Prabhupada quotes Kamsa as an example of Dehatma Buddhi. Everything that is in relationship, I am my body, and everything that is in relationship to my body is of importance to me. And that which is not connected directly with my body, then I don't have, then you can cut the chicken's throat, you can gas the Jews, but my own family, this is his extended sense gratification, because he feels a relationship with his family members, so he feels for their suffering, but he doesn't feel for the sufferings of others beyond that. So a materialist may be said to be more advanced in apparent saintliness according to the extent he according to the extent of the field of his extended sense gratification. A total out and out demon, he only cares for himself, and modern society is promoting that total selfishness. I, me, and mine, and that's it. I, me, and just me, and me, not even mine. Aham Mamiti is I, me, and mine. But total selfishness is only I and me, and there's no mine. I just, other every living being is meant for my exploitation. But then others, they may say, I have my family, and others may extend that more, my country, and others may extend their field of compassion to the whole human race, and others may feel for save the whale, or they extend their compassion to other living beings, save the butterflies, something like this. So they become vegetarians out of a sense of compassion on other living beings. So that is more advanced, becoming a vegetarian out of compassion for the suffering living beings. That is more advanced than slaughtering chickens to eat them. However, as long as one does not understand one's relationship with Krishna, then ultimately that feeling of compassion, that is a, how do we call that, a transformation of one's own desire for sense gratification. Because one takes the position himself of Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam. Instead of recognizing Krishna as the friend of all living beings, he thinks, I am so friendly, I am so nice to all other living beings. But as long as one refuses to accept that Krishna is the supreme living being and everyone should act for his pleasure, then his so-called being friendly to others, that will be perverted. By one is friendly to others by cultivating a feeling that I am good, I am nice. Prabhupada gave the example of there's a certain mission which is very prominent in Bengal, not a Christian mission, a Hindu mission, that they believe that they have created a slogan that Manava Seva is Madhava Seva, service to man is service to God. And they've also invented a term, Daridra Narayana, that we should see all human, we should see all people as God. What a high sentiment, what a wonderful sentiment. No, it's wrong, it's rascal. Narayana is Narayana, and everyone else is Narayana Ansha, part and parcel of Narayana. So they've invented especially the term Daridra Narayana. The poor man is God. I'm a rich man, I'm a rich Narayana, this is a poor Narayana, so I'm in a better position than the poor Narayana. So we should serve the Daridra Narayana. Now how shall we serve the hungry? Daridra means poverty stricken. So we should serve him by cutting the throats of the goats and feeding them healthy meat. Not considering what a Prabhupada said, the Chaga Narayana, the goat Narayana. If you're going to say the man is God and the poor man is God, why not the goat? Why do you cut his throat? So your compassion for one living being, where's the compassion for another living being? And then of course you may say, we love all living beings. We love the embryos and germs and every living being, but actually it is not possible to love every living being while being envious of the prime living being. If we deny our relationship with Krishna, that is violence. If we promote humanitarianism, ethics, goodness, and all these things, but don't teach others that you can only actually be happy and you can only actually be benefited by having a relationship with Krishna, then that is actually not compassion, that is actually violence. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he defined that the worst type of violence, worse than Auschwitz, which hadn't happened at that time, but worse than killing people, worse than whatever kind of violence you can think of in this material world, is to fail to deliver them Krishna consciousness. Because the Hitler and company, they may have killed so many bodies, but if we fail to deliver Krishna consciousness to others, then we're killing the opportunity to get free from birth and death, and killing the opportunity to restore our relationship with Krishna. So comes his compassion, although he, no doubt, he felt it, but it was temporary, incomplete, only based on the feeling that, well, after all, she's my sister. Just based on a bodily understanding. So even though Kamsa was sympathetic and feeling something in his heart, still devotees, they can understand that this is not on the level of the compassion of a devotee who preaches Krishna consciousness. So Harishai Prabhu is looking at his watch, feeling compassion for the devotees, that they also have to take prasadam and the service and waiting. But Vijay Prabhu told me that Jagmaj went on to 9:30, so he said he set a precedent.
Tejasam Nadoshaya.
Well, I'm not Tejas.
I know, I'm saying you can't.
I have faults. I can't find faults in him, but if I go on, I have a fault. So I'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai. The temple of the... Yes, Adbhut Mandir ki jai. Let's get serious about this.
Yeah.